Our lesson is from the second chapter of Luke, verses 8 to 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Something is going to change this Christmas, but it is not the Christmas story. There are some things that we can observe, however, that have changed at Christmas time, and especially in our own times. Now, I'm the last one to say bah humbug to Christmas decorations. I really like the lights and the colors of the season, the music, the greenery, candles and pageants and gathering with friends, family, and church, music, the snow. Oh, well, maybe not the snow. And those amazing Christmas cookies. Even my Jewish dentist told me this year that he can't wait every year so he can watch the Hallmark Christmas specials, which are just such uplifting stories, he says. But something has changed, at least in our neighborhood. First, it was just a few inflatables. A 6-foot-high snow globe kind of thing with a snowman inside. And this was years ago. And it seemed to go well with the house-long, random, flashing icicle lights hanging from the gutters. And this was on the next street over around the block, so we really didn't have to look at it except to drive by. But one year, soon thereafter, there was a 10-foot-tall Santa illuminated from within inflatable appearing over here in the yard to the left. And then, well, in our neighborhood, we are now in a full-fledged war of the inflatables. There is a Santa-flown helicopter complete with rotating blade. There is a faux hot air balloon, Charlie Brown, Snoopy, the famous Christmas tree, more and more Christmas snow globes, and that's just in our own neighborhood. In the nearby communities, there's another Santa with an airplane and rotating inflated propeller. And yes, we've become sensitized to the inflatable inflation. I have noticed now Charlie Brown and Snoopy on an inflated seesaw, Spider-Man climbing a chimney, Scooby-Doo in a Santa outfit, Santa driving a tractor pulling Christmas trees, candy cane arches Christmas merry-go-round, reindeer and Santa popping up and down out of a chimney, train locomotive driven by Santa, huge ornaments, of course, Frosty riding Rudolph bareback, Santa with an entire Christmas band, and of course, an inflated nativity. How could that be tacky? It is also very colorful, and I suppose it's a lot of fun. But there's a momentum that's grasped our neighborhood and our culture, and no end appears in sight. And so our little white, humble light strung on the bushes and Moravian star hanging in the window seems rather subdued, perhaps a subtle message. And maybe, just maybe, that's the real lesson to be drawn from all this, that after all of the lights and celebrating and sounds and inflatables and build-up, what truly remains for us is what is at the core of the tradition with which we began. And that is a tired and frightened, road-weary, displaced family finding shelter in a stable out back, attended by the quiet of the night and curious shepherds showing up in awe after a visitation from a heavenly choir. It is late, late at night. And in the distance, the party noise from the overfilled inn can vaguely be heard. And they are alone, but not really alone. And they are insignificant and unnoticed, but not at all. For the whole creation has been long awaiting this night, this event. The hopes and the fears of all the years are met in this Bethlehem backdrop tonight. Because this is Christmas. Because we've been waiting for something to change. In our era, when we're so exhausted from the bad news from throughout the world and the endless conflict and turmoil among groups, even in our own land, the loss in confidence and hope, perhaps a loss of optimistic innocence in our culture, we are waiting, impatiently, we are waiting for something to change. And that's what this Advent season, the season of expectation, waiting, watching, has been all about. Here is a recollection of a service of lessons and carols that changed one person's view of that Christmas anticipation and its power. As we entered the sanctuary, it was almost time for the service of lessons and carols to begin. And after friends made room for us on their crowded pew, we sat down just as the choir moved into place in the back for the processional hymn. When I looked up, I noticed a man sitting alone in the choir loft. He was middle-aged, dressed in a choir robe, and was leaning forward in an odd posture. At first, I thought he had arrived too late to join the rest of the choir in the back of the church, so he must have decided just to hurry to his seat. Yet as I watched him more closely, there was nothing rushed about him. Rather the contrary, he seemed calm and unhurried. This man sat very, very still, almost strangely so. His eyes straight ahead, his jaw was thrust up, his neck was taut, holding still as though he anticipated something was about to happen. And then suddenly he stood up, as if he had heard some cue inaudible to the rest of us, and he broke into a smile that lit up his whole person. A smile like we see on someone who has received wonderful news. And yet he was standing there alone, no one near him, leaning over the choir screen and into the open space beyond him. It was then that I realized that the man in the choir loft was blind. He had not arrived late, but he had been waiting right where he needed to be, probably where he often waited. He had been listening for the sound of readiness, a sound he had attuned his ears to hear. He was anticipating with his whole being the first sound of movement and of music from a distance. He was leaning into the space of God's gathered people, poised, ready. And when he heard the sound he had been waiting for, he was moved to joy. We need to be just like him, poised and ready and expectant and excited. God is making change in us, through us, and perhaps for us. The heart of our Christmas tradition is that we are somehow still in the manger side. We're wondering who this God is that comes in such a vulnerable form and who keeps that vulnerability all the way to the cross. Who is this God who has all this angelic fanfare at a moment's disposal and yet opts for hay and shepherds and reality? Who is this God who has all the power of the cosmos and beyond and enters human existence without any of the advantages or the privileges that we take as our birthright? Listen, something has changed. It is us. We have changed. We have realized life, even when it is bad or difficult, is good. We have changed, and when we change, so does the world. A wonderful Christian writer, Wendy Wright, discovered the joy of the Christmas season one year in a most unlikely place, which was a homeless shelter in her city. Wendy and some others from her church visit homeless shelters each year to sing Christmas carols. The people living in homeless shelters, she noted, have often had their childhood dreams shattered. They live with very little hope. In that setting, she writes, the songs of snowmen and Christmas wish lists and hearty good cheer ring hollow. What does ring true, though, is the good news of a Savior. One of the shelters at which they were singing, Wendy met a man she said she'll never forget. The group had been singing their Christmas carols in a smoke-filled, noisy room. They were ready to wind it all up when a homeless man, about 50 in a soiled jacket, approached her. She recalls that this man's perception of things, due either to ill health or some chemical substance, seemed doubtful. But he asked Wendy if she would sing his favorite Christmas song with him, and the song was "O Holy Night." So Wendy agreed, and together they began singing. And the crowded room gradually grew silent as the two of them raised up their voices together. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. The man in the soiled jacket leaned on the edge of a tattered sofa about 3 feet from Wendy. He was singing with his eyes closed. And as he sang, Wendy noticed a change washed over the man. She writes, the tired creases of his street-weary face softened as he sang. As he continued to sing, his face shone and tears fell gently from his lowered eyes. I knew at that moment, she says, that his longing and my longing were one. It was etched on the human heart. That is our hope for Christmas, that it is etched on the human heart, that it is here to stay, and that it has changed us, and in changing us, it has changed our world. So let us pray now in thankfulness for what truly changes this Christmas time and every Christmas time that we experience the manger. And that change is us. Oh, holy anticipation, breathtaking space in between what has been, what is to come, where winter dreams reveal secret longings and winged angels announce the coming of love, you draw us to the edge of possibility, like the song of angels drawing shepherds, eyes wide and breath held, waiting, watching. Come, settle into our living for a while, and do not let us settle for too little. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.